Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
And let me say something to you as well as we slowly kind of trickle in to our final point. Church, not that you become some kind of Bible bully, not that you become kind of a Bible thumper, not that you become kind of this annoying person that nobody can talk to because it's always, you know, something from the Bible, and I'm going to hit you with Jesus right now, but there is a certain authority that you carry as a Christian when you go to work, when you stand in line, when you drive down the streets, when you talk to friends, when you go to a restaurant. There's a certain authority that you have because your Savior has authority. And I'm a little bit tired already of Christians always taking a step back. Christians don't have to take a step back to anyone. Jesus takes a step back to no one. The Word of God takes a step back to no one. This is truth. This is reality. This is how it will all end, what I just read to you, Philippians chapter 2. Church, take that authority with you. Hey, listen. You might be a little bit shy. You might be a little bit hesitant, since we used that word just a few moments ago in the message. And if you are, that's okay. There are a gazillion invite cards out in the lobby. If you're a shy person, if you're not sure what to say sometimes, take one of those. Put a bunch of them in your purse or in your pocket. And you know what, church? The next time that you're putting gas at the pump and there's a person on the other side of the pump, just say, hey, you know what? I'm looking at you and God just put this on my heart here. You know, you can throw it away if you want to, but if not, you know, please check it out. Authority, church. Authority. Why is it, and I don't mean to pick on them, okay? But let me just use an example of misplaced authority. Here you have, and I'll tell you a funny story about it too. Here you have our Jehovah's Witnesses who love knocking on doors, right? And a lot of people were super happy during COVID because they had to stop knocking on doors, right? Especially in one of those neighborhoods that they go to every single time. But here's some individuals who have a misguided intention. They don't really understand Scripture. They don't really get Jesus. But they have this kind of, they've been wired in a way where they have a sense of authority to go knock on your door, and give you all this stuff. A lot of people don't open the doors. I was one of the people who did. When I was much younger and a little bit more of a hothead, I opened the door to one of them one time, and I invited them in. And I said something very simple. I said, well, you know, aren't you telling me that there's 144,000 are the ones that are going to be saved from Revelation? They're like, yes, of course, that's Bible, that's truth. I'm like, and you guys are part of the 144,000? They said, yes, 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 that's true. You know, we're going to be part of that number. And I'm like, let me ask you a question. Why are you inviting me to be a part of your church, and why are you still knocking on my door? Because from when the Jehovah's Witness started it to right now, more than 144,000 of you have died, so you're not getting into heaven. Why are you here? But that's a trick that I can play because I had studied it and I knew it. Because they're hung up on the 144, and from the movement to here, 144,000 of them already died. They're not going to get in. So it's, again, just to show you the false understanding of Scripture. But here they come. Bam, 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 bam. Here they come. Bam, bam. Why? Because they carry a sense of authority. And I want you, church, to carry that same power and that same authority and that same presence, because Jesus says, I am with you. I am with you. So, church, take the message to someone, invite someone, and that takes us into our closing. Our closing, I just entitled it Commission and Consummation. From this commission that you see in Scripture until the consummation, when Jesus comes back and all things are made new, we are called to do, basically, here are the four verbs. Let me just give them to you, and we'll just unpack them. Go, make, teach, and baptize. If you've ever wondered, what am I supposed to be doing as a Christian? Pick one. Pick a verb. Go, make, teach. Well, baptize, you should leave that for pastors. But nonetheless, you bring a person to a place of baptism. Pick a verb. And just in case you're wondering, the main verb in that clause, the main verb is make. Make disciples. In other words, if we looked at it as a university classroom, which I think it will be the most easiest way for you to understand, because in college you go to class sometimes once a week. So you come to class on Sunday. Let's just use the terms, right? Let me put all these things in quotes. You come to class on Sunday, and then when you go out, church, a Christian is almost like a tutor. there's a bunch of people in your life who are learning maybe a little bit about the Bible, a little bit about Jesus. Maybe they know a lot. Maybe it's a little bit off to the side. Whatever it might be, you are their tutor. You are teaching them how to become a disciple. You have information that you know. You have things that you've learned. You have experiences that you've gone through. You've seen God raise you up and sustain you. And now you're kind of passing that along. You are tutoring somebody one-on-one. And that's why Bible study is so important as well. That's how we make disciples and we teach. Look, church, let me tell you a story. I had a student in one of my Trinity classes, which is a great story, because he had to do some makeup work because of this. He went to visit some family members, I think up in Chicago, somewhere in the Midwest, I believe it was Chicago. And then he rents a car, and as he's driving back to Miami, he wanted to take the drive, come on back to Miami. He proposed to himself that at every gas station he stopped, at every restaurant that he ate, at every hotel that he stayed at, that he was going to share Jesus on his way from Chicago back down to Miami. How's about that for vacation? Does anybody want to do that challenge along with him? Every time he stopped at a gas station, whether it was the attendant that he went to pay with his credit card or pay cash, or was the person on the other side of the pump, hey, what do you know about Jesus? Just call. He's not even from those places. But he's going, verb. He is teaching, verb. He is making, verb. And literally at every gas station, at every restaurant, at every hotel he stayed in, he shared Jesus with one person in each location from Chicago to Miami along the road. So the next time you go on vacation, the next time you're on the road for a long time, I challenge you to do the same. Because if he can do it, I know you can do it. And I use him as an example of this commission. Go, make, teach, baptize. It doesn't say when it's convenient. It doesn't say when it's easy. It doesn't say when I plan for it, when I'm ready for it. It's just Jesus saying, hey, as you live, go and make and teach and impact. And he says, because everything belongs to me, all authority given to me in heaven and on earth. Church, because he does that because the gas station, because the restaurant, because the hotel belongs to Jesus. He is king over that as well. So it's his territory. It doesn't belong to XYZ person who owns the gas station. That's just on paper. It belongs to Jesus. It's not about the person who's sitting behind the counter of the hotel. It can say Holiday Inn. It can say Ramada. It can say whatever it wants to say. It can say Hilton. That space belongs to Jesus. It's not the restaurant, whether it's Cracker Barrel, your favorite, or Chili's, or Cheesecake Factory, whatever it might be. It belongs to Jesus. All authority over all things in all places belongs to him. And church, you are given that authority and power and presence to take the message as well. But Pastor Edwin, shouldn't I be more respectful of other people's opinions or belief? Absolutely. I'm not asking you to run them over, but I'm asking you to very respectfully say to them, but you know what? Your opinion might be good, but what I want to share with you are the forever words of Jesus. Because as I just said to you a moment ago, your conversations and my conversations one day are going to disappear from this reality when they put us 6 feet under. Our conversations, our words, the jokes, the stories, all gone. Not his words. They will be here. And they will continue well on after we're gone. Because look at where we are today. And we're still preaching his words. We are still here today. And his words are still changing lives and changing hearts. His words today still encompass the entire globe. Forever words. All we did was transition from eyewitnesses to ear witnesses, church. That's all that we've done. We preach, we love, we worship the greatest person in the universe. His presence goes with us. His power goes with us. I was giggling the other days when I was taking the girls on an errand because we passed a house that still had all of its Christmas lights on outside. And I thought, man, either they were really busy or they really want to try and stay in the holiday season. Every day for the Christian is Christmas. Because Emmanuel, God with us, goes with you. So every single day is actually Christmas Day for you and for me, because you are not alone. The commission that Jesus gives you, he walks alongside you to live it out. Teach his forever words. Dive into Scripture. Bring the person to a moment of change where they can be baptized, and continue to go out. Church, Jesus wants to change this city. And you might be saying to yourself, Pastor Reverend, that sounds nice, but it's just me and it's just us. Listen, I can't speak for other churches. I'm just going to speak for ours. But what I do know is that there's more than 11 people in here. And there's more than 11 people watching who are part of this family of faith. And these were Galilean fishermen. Their education basically is everything that you learned by the seventh grade. And they altered the course of history because they preached a forever word. They preached a perfect message as imperfect people in that perfect power of God. They set themselves aside. They surrendered that others would know. So church, I say to you, Matthew's gospel doesn't finish in chapter 28. It's still being written. And we're being asked to write that next chapter. Let's write some words in bold, shall we? Let's underline, like we do in the computer, underline important things, put them in bold, you know, make the color dark or make the color different, because the chapter is still being written. And church, would you as an individual contribute a paragraph to that chapter? And what I'm challenging you today is this: if these 11 Galilean, mostly fishermen, you can exclude Thomas and probably Matthew and Luke, who was a doctor, you can exclude those. If fishermen can begin a movement that turns into a worldwide church based on the truth of the gospel, church, you can do it as well. And I'm not talking about numbers and filling buildings. I'm talking about changed lives, filling up the kingdom of God for eternity. That's ultimately what we're talking about. Church, let's conquer Miami for Jesus, and let's give this city back to him. And it could happen one person at a time. Have Jesus on your lips, and let's write a next chapter. I want to leave you with these words this morning from Joshua chapter 1. Let me find it here very quickly. Because you might be saying, Pastor, I'm in, man, but Miami's pretty big, and there's some tough people out there, and there's some people who believe different things. That's okay. That's okay. Begin a dialogue. Begin the dialogue. Give them Jesus' forever words. And look at what it says here in Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 7. I want to leave you with these words. Church, before I read this, let me just remind you. I'm not asking you to be perfect. I'm not asking you to know your Bible by memory. I am asking you to simply step in to where this group was there that day, imperfect people in a very imperfect place, but they're given a perfect message, and they're going to communicate it with confidence, with authority, with power, and because the presence of Christ was with them. So I want to leave you with these words, not mine, this morning. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Can we say amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have chosen to gather a group of very imperfect people with a very imperfect pastor in a very imperfect church to communicate your perfect truth, your perfect gospel to this city. Thank you that you brought glory to those men that day by taking their imperfections and loving them that way by redeeming and restoring them, that they would transition from just disciples to be apostles, to change the world. Thank you that you took an imperfect place like Galilee and you gave it glory as well. That place would never be the same again, because your forever word was declared there. Your forever commission was declared there. And Lord, they obeyed and they suffered and they were willing to pay the price for that message. So Heavenly Father, this morning I pray that you would take us. You've already given us the message. You've already given us the words about Jesus. I pray that you will give us that courage to share it with another. It's not about money or huge campaigns or big church buildings. It's about changing a life, giving them life in Jesus, that they might truly taste and see that you are good, and that abundance and that prosperity and that blessing is found in you. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that you would call us to share this perfect message with this city. Give us a deep love for this city. Give us a deep love for its people, even when sometimes they frustrate us. But Father, I pray that your love in us, your intentions in us would be greater, and that we would give the gospel, that we would give Jesus, that we would give the cross, that we would give the empty tomb to someone who so desperately needs it, that we might go, that we might make disciples, that we might teach your forever word, that they would be baptized, new lives, Lord. Use us in that fashion. And we thank you for the privilege and the honor that you've given us to be a part of your kingdom. Father, there's space for more. There's space for more. Give us boldness. Give us words. Grant us the opportunities. Find us ready to share your forever word with someone who desperately needs it. Lord, we thank you for Jesus who makes all this possible. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.